David Griffiths, Reel 4. Yeah.
So you were shocked to get 27 days?
I was very shocked. Very shocked. But I think, in the end, it did me good. You know? To see what, like we're talking about detention barracks, what they are, and you hear people's stories, and what I saw for myself. And that was in Lucknow Detention Barracks. And when I got out, there was two fellas from our regiment waiting for me to escort me back to the barracks.
Do you think you should have got fewer days?
Yeah, I think I had a raw deal. I definitely think I had a raw deal because, I mean, I was a soldier, I would do as I was told. I liked the army. That was the point about me, I liked the army. As I was saying, when I was a recruit, I thought I'd done the wrong thing, but I loved it and I loved the sport of the army. Hockey, cricket, everything. Because, as you know, if you play sport in the army, well, you're all right. So I had offers of promotion, but I refused it.
And why did you refuse?
Well, the simple way I refused it, so it was this. There was a battalion, there was a TA draft came out to our barracks in Compo. And funny enough, there was a lot from my hometown. And of course, if I was a lance corporal or a corporal, it meant I couldn't go out with the privates because that's class distinction. You ought to be in the corporal's mess or go with the corporals or sergeants. But I wouldn't be allowed to mix them with the private soldier. And the funny thing enough about these TAs, you know what TA, I mean, they didn't know about army life. I mean, they were just called up in the army and stood in, like, and they were coming out and they were saying, well, I'm not fucking doing this, I'm not fucking doing that. Bollocks to you. And I mean, our sergeants were real regimental sergeants and to the button stick, you know, weren't they?
They weren't saying this to the NCOs,
were they? They were saying it to the NCOs. And I've got proof of that now. That's in Brecon in South Wales. They even locked themselves in, barricaded themselves in number 10 block. That was the number of the block, number 10 block. Coming out, Sergeant Booth, coming out. Back off, we're not fucking coming out. Bollocks to you all. But funny enough, they did come out, and they were really good soldiers. They really got down to it. They could see that, you know, there was no weekend leave there sort of thing, from India to all that way. And they said, well, we were knuckled. And after they were number 10 block, because they were all in block, you know what I mean? And they put them then into separate companies. Some would come in our company, in D company, A company, B company, C company. And then they...
To break them up.
To break them up. Well, they were going to be broke up in any case. But they worked them into companies as they were. And they real good soldiers. And they had a damn good soccer team amongst them.
Were they punished for all that?
Well, I think they rebellion. Took a little... Oh, yeah. Yeah, summer 70s, you know, and things like that, you know. It's a funny story. I mean, you'd have to see it and hear it to believe it. Because, I mean, me, a regular soldier, trained to the hilt in Brecon, if I only look back at a corporal like that, what are you looking at? You know, that was a peacetime soldiering. And you can take it from me, there's a hell of a difference in peacetime soldiering and wartime soldiering.
So you must have been absolutely astonished to hear
that. I was astonished. Yeah, I was astonished, yeah.
When was that, you said?
That was beginning of 1940. Yeah.
Can we talk about the food a bit more?
Yeah.
You said that the food was all right, but the cooks sometimes spoiled it a bit.
It's all the old things.
Did you find the food was adequate? Did you feel that it was enough for you?
Well, it some people got different views and different diets, the sort of thing. I mean, they can go without food for a long time. Some people can't go without food for a long time. I found it all right myself, coming from a home of 13 children, and in the strikes in 1926 and 36, down in depression in Wales. It was regular. It was regular. And I'm saying we had a few annas in our pocket, we could go to the naffy and have a cup of char and a wad. And it was all right. And we had the old chowler outside in the night. He had real good steak on. And we got what we call a banjo.
Banjo?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's two pieces of bread and a piece of steak inside it.
How much would that cost you?
About three annas. That's threepence.
Was it hygienic?
Well, we thought so anyway. We didn't know.
You didn't fall
sick? We just
taking
a chance. Like, no, well, sometimes we get sometimes, but majority of them didn't anyway, so I don't think it was so much, you know.
Did you ever fall sick in India?
Yes, I'm glad you asked me that. The very first week I got out there, I had what they call sandfly fever. I don't know what sandfly fever is.
What was that like?
Well, so it was the name of sandfly, and you're vomiting and vomiting and vomiting, and you can't keep nothing down. And I lost a hell of a lot of weight, and had malaria and all afterwards, like, you know.
You had malaria afterwards, straight afterwards?
Mm. Well, I'm having a war pension for a part of that now, like.
Because of the malaria?
Besides getting wounded as well, like, you know.
Do you still get bouts of malaria now?
I haven't had a bout now for about 12 years. But I've had it ever since I came home.
About how many years between each bout?
Oh, I think there's about 3-4 years. I know, my missus saw me one day, she said, oh, I think you've got a bit of malaria. I said, no, that's not malaria. I said, that's a cold. There's a hell of a difference between a cold and malaria.
You're shivering, are you?
You're shivering all the time. I mean, whatever they put on top of you, shivering, aren't you, all the time? You just can't get warm.
So you had a rough time from the point of view of your health when you first arrived?
Yeah, but I got over it.
What was the treatment like?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I say good now to see there were nurses there, you know. There's the Queen Alexander nurses. And your own orderlies, BMH orderlies, your own MO.
How long were you in hospital?
I think it was about a fortnight, I think, when you were sampling, I think.
And with the malaria?
Well, off and on, like, you know.
And were they the only sicknesses you got?
I think it was the only sicknesses I got, yeah.
Did you get anything like diarrhea or dysentery?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Often?
Yes. I wouldn't say often, but the majority of the lads went out there, I think they did have dysentery, you know.
Were you passing blood, or
yes.
Was it just diarrhea?
Yeah, I passed blood a couple of times. Well, funny enough, I passed blood since I came home.
How do you think you got this dysentery?
I think it's eating fruit off these natives, you know?
So you were doing what you were told not to do, really?
Yeah.
Were the army conditions themselves hygienic?
Oh, yeah, well, you are to be. You are to be. That was the first thing you was taught out there, to be hygienic. Because the first thing they tell you, you're not in bloody now. You're in a place where you've got to take care of yourself.
What type of precautions were they taking? You've already told me about the sanitary patrol duty that you
cleanliness
had.
Cleanliness of bed in yourself, you mean?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, so you ought to be clean, hygienically clean, you ought to be. Smart, you and they'd look at you and say, well, you feel all right, like? Well, if you didn't, you would go to the MO, like, and if he was dying, perhaps he'd give you M&D, that's what I call medicine and duty. There was no, like, mollycoddling. You'd have to be real rough to escape a route march or something like that. But luckily enough, I was pretty good in health, you know.
You said they inspected your bedding as well, did they?
Oh, yeah.
For vermin?
Yeah, yeah.
We had
what we call the anti-sandfly squad. And they go down, you know, these flip pumps. They flit all your bed, you know. And if you were scruffy, an NCO would take you and give you a good... You give a good bath yourself. But I never found that in our regiment. You'd get the one or two, you know, and then they'd fall in line, you know. Become a real good soldier and a clean soldier.
Did you get things like lice or bugs?
No, I didn't have lice or bugs, no. No,
you didn't come across them in the barracks?
Well, I didn't, anyway. Perhaps I had them, man. Perhaps you was too busy on other things, probably didn't know you had them.
Can you tell me what the routine was during the day? Can you tell me what time you'd get up in the morning?
Yeah.
What you'd do during the day? What the pattern of the day was when lights out would be and so on?
Yeah. We'd get up about 5 o'clock in the morning in India. And we'd have weapon training on the... The first thing we'd do, we'd have PT with our ammunition boots on.
What time would this be?
That'd be about 5 o'clock in the morning. Ammunition boots on. Your rifle, and running, and jumping over. Normal PT exercises. And you'd come back after doing PT. Good shower. Have your breakfast. Then you'd have weapon training on the veranda. Perhaps out of the sun, you know. And then you do bayonet training. All the normal functions of the army. And then you'd have route marches. Perhaps you'd start off at about 10 at night sometimes. March by night to reach a certain objective. We'd say, well, that's our objective, what we've got to take. It's like taking, like in real warfare, you take a town. Or like a mosque or something like that, you know? See, well, we've got to take that by us like a certain time. And we'd march to it till we get and disperse, you know?
And then what time would you be in bed?
Well, you could go out. About 12, I'd go to bed somewhere. And then we had a... It was enforced and we could go out as long as we could be in by Rivali in the morning. First parade.
At 5 o'clock?
Mm.
So you might not get very much sleep between 12 and 5.
No, well, it was up to you then, wasn't it?
Did you sleep much during the day?
If somebody made a little bit of a row in the afternoon, what would like a siesta or a kip we used to call it like? And if somebody just made a little bit of a row, they say, in bed or out of barracks. And while the punkers was going, and the fans, we used to have a... Because we had no blankets or anything like that, it was in a sheet, and we used to have it across the stomach there. Because the air all the time would give you a bad stomach. And they always advise you to put a... Well, you ought to do it. Put something across the stomach. Stop having a bad stomach.
Because of the movement of the air.
Because of the movement of the air.
You said that you spent a lot of your spare time doing sport.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your sporting activities?
Yes, I can. I remember a time we went up the hill station. That's what you call, from the plains up to the hills. And we were playing the Royal Berkshires in the finals. And I always remember our captain, Captain Price. He said, Griffiths, if you don't score a goal today, 7 days fucking CV. You know, it was rough and ready, you know. I was playing on the right wing for the for A Company, and we were playing the Royal Berkshires up in a place called Jupatia. And we were drawing, and apparently I scored the winning goal. I used to come right from the right wing and run in and shoot him with my left foot. And we won the tournament.
Was this the Durand Cup?
No, that wasn't the Durand Cup. It was only inter-battalion, inter-company, you know. I didn't play for the battalion. I played for the company. But a good fellow, good many of our lads played in the Durand Cup, you know, and they used to go up to Delhi and on the finals day in Delhi. But I never went to Delhi to play football. I was recalled from Jupatia down to Green Park to play for the battalion. As this other fellow wasn't fit. That's the only time I played for the battalion.
Did you play any other sports?
Yeah, hockey.
Except soccer?
Hockey. Yeah, hockey. All of it. Running.
Cross country?
Yeah, bags of that. Dog and stick, we used to call it.
Why did you call it
dog? I don't know, it was just a nickname.
That was a nickname for a cross country?
Dog and stick. And you don't believe me, it was cross country too.
What other, how else did you spend your free time apart from doing sports and going to the canteen? What else would you do?
Well, advising other troops coming out, you know, to tell them what it's like, you know, what you'd have to do and things like that, like. And perhaps you'd have a good playing sport and swimming.
Did you have a theatre? Do you have theatre?
Yes, we had a theatre up in Landy Cordell. Pictures. And we had always... up in Landy Cordell, yes, we had a picture house there. And of course, it was all men, you know. All swatties and the like, you know. And we'd have these pies, curry pies. They were great too. As we thought at the time, like, you know.
Curry pies?
Curry pies, yeah. Curry pies. I've told my missus about them, but she went out. That doesn't know such thing. Well, I know there is. I'm going to go and see pictures there, you know. All Quiet on the Western Front and things they got, you know.
But did you have any theatre shows like variety performances or anything of that kind?
We did have a one up in Landy Cordell. I couldn't recollect the name of the persons. It was only one I seen anyway. And that was a kind of a little act, like, you know.
Was this put on by the soldiers?
We used to put our own shows on, so the lads, you know. We had one private by the name of Private Wallace. He said, I should work in the KOMs. I said, why is that? He said, I'm not the tallest bloke. You could always put the bulbs in the light.
What does QM mean?
The quartermaster. Quartermaster source.
Right. And reading rooms? Did you have reading rooms?
Yes, we had a library to go to, yeah.
Do the soldiers make much use of those?
Yeah.
What type of things did they have in the reading rooms?
Well, I didn't know myself, sir, because I never used to go in there. I never went for reading.
But it was in newspapers or books or what?
Well, they knew by their own paper, like a book, you know, and things like that, like, you know.
Did you get newspapers at all?
I can never remember having one. No, I can never remember having one. We used to listen to Radio Saigon.
In English?
Yes. The records, Radio Saigon. I remember that vividly, very, very well. Up in Landy Cordell. That was when we were surrounded by the barbed wire, you know. And this is Radio Saigon.
What type of records did they play?
The normal ones that over those days, you know.
Sort of pop music of the day.
And they're like the pop music of the day, like, you know. Yeah. Paul Whiteman and all them, you know, and the old ones, Bing Crosby and records. Oh, I remember that very well.
Who had the radio?
One of our friends.
It was his own radio?
Yeah.
Could you get radio reception from England?
No. But Radio Saigon, I always remember that. I always do remember Radio Saigon.
What about things like the Salvation Army and...
Oh, I've never
like
seen
that,
things like that out there.
Were they not there?
No, not when we were there.
I think that you... you were telling me earlier about a rhyme that you used to have.
Yeah.
Can you recite that to me?
Yeah.
Chota Bibi?
Chota Bibi, Chota Cha, Bombay Bibi, Achiba.
What does it mean?
That means, hey, I'll have a little bit tonight.
Chota Bibi means?
Small baby.
Small woman?
Yeah.
Chota Bibi, Chota
Cha, Bombay Bibi, Achiba.
What does Achiba mean?
I'll be all right.
Do you know any more rhymes or things that you learned?
Since I'm taking these tablets, I've been all well, like, a bit of it, like, you know. Because I'm not in the standy, but Cheer Up My Lads, you know, we used to sing all that, you know.
And bless them all.
And Roll on the Boat, you know. Let's get back to Blighty, like.
How many of the soldiers were married? Were many of them married?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't... we had them called, what do you call them, married quarters, you know? Oh, yeah, so we had what you call them, married quarters there. Funny enough, and I was married... I was the orderly to the married pads, what we call married pads, we used to call them, like, you know? And take the letters out to them and... I saw a little bunk of my own. And then I was like, attached to the bunk was a little clinic. This is up in Japati in the hill station. And they used to come in with the babies and, you know, the doctors, the MOs used to look at the children and things they got like. And I always remember one instance there. I don't know if I just put this in.
Yes.
I was a piece by the name of Mrs. Black. And she said to me one day, I was going there taking a message. Oh, she said, you like the Drakes, are you? She said, come the back way. And I didn't catch on.
You like what, did she?
She said, you like the Drakes, come the back way. You know, a duck and a drake, you know what I mean? She said, oh, you like the Drakes, come the back way, are you? And she was telling me, like, the old sob story, or her husband's in Allahabad, and I'm on my own, and life is lonely, and... I thought, well, you know, you've got to watch out because if you're caught, that's it, like, innit?
What would happen to you if you
were caught? Well, I wouldn't have 28 days. I might have about 2 years in clink, perhaps.
2 what?
Perhaps about 2 years in clink. I thought, but she was beautiful. And eventually I didn't go with her in the night. But if I was caught by the police, it would have been my...
But you were
caught. I was provoked to it. I didn't catch on first time because, you know, we weren't so educated them days in Sexton as you are today. But we knew enough. My name was Mrs. Black, that was her name was. And she was a beautiful woman.
Was her husband a private?
He was a sergeant. Yeah.
Was there a lot of that type of thing went on?
Oh, yes, certainly there was. If they say the truth. If they say the truth.
Did it cause a lot of trouble?
I don't think so. No, it didn't. Because it is so hushed up, like, you know. I think if it came into the open, it would cause a lot of confusion.
Did it ever come into the open? Can you remember any instances where it came into the open?
No.
What were your duties then as on this married quarters orderly?
Well, to sweep all the rooms up, you know, clean it up and get it ready for them. And they used to have a little, perhaps a dance there in the night, you know.
But didn't the Indian servants do all that?
Oh, no, I was, because they wouldn't allow the Indian servants in the place like that then. I mean, what you're trying to get at now is, like, they had bearers. The bearers used to do their housework, you see? But I had to take all the... tell them there was a meeting tonight and the doctor would be there and the MO would be there to see the children and things like that. And we used to shout after the natives, oh, Pakrawala, you know?
What does it mean?
That's a thief. You're a Pakrawala.
You mean if you suspected somebody?
Yeah, you're a thief. Yeah. Pakrawala.